Thank you so much for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny and Clay here on your Tuesday. It's the Morning Tailgate. Hit us up on the phones at 702-365-9200, as well as text in the word cabana for your chance to be a part of the Summer of Fun. You qualify for the Vegas vacation. Text the word cabana to 702-365-9200. Oh, but it's that time. You hear the autumn wind from the virtuoso from Juilliard and Raider Nation's Grammy winner, traveling the world over, twice over, with his band and more. Here on Raider Nation Radio, the host of Yahoo Sports, the host with Fox Sports Radio, it's the man, Jason Fitz. He's here with us right now here on Raider Nation Radio. All right, Jason, I woke up this morning with Yahoo Sports and a very, very good thought on your part, with also Nick Bromberg, on where does U.S. soccer go from here after yesterday's loss. Let's start with that, to Uruguay. How surprised was everyone over there at Yahoo Sports that they couldn't move on this time around? And really, what's next for the men's team?
Yeah, I think change is probably inevitable, but the hard part is that the World Cup's right around the corner, so how do you get anything done in time? And guys, like, we're used to the men's national team not really living up to expectations. This one hurts because this was supposed to be different. And I know a lot of people are going to complain about the officiating, but as Nick pointed it out when we were talking about it last night, USA had to get a win out of this match to advance the way everything played out. So as much as we want to talk about the poor officiating in the first half and how it could have created a draw, this thing was never good enough from the outset. This team should have won the first match by more. They didn't come out to play in the second match after the red card. They couldn't seem to get it together, which is inexcusable. And then they lose to a team they were supposed to lose to, but still, through all of that, I can't find hope in a loss for a team that was supposed to be better. And now they've got to find a way to drum up excitement before the World Cup, which I think is going to be particularly difficult to do. The men's national team feels like Charlie Brown every year running into football. Football gets moved, and we fall for it every time.
Yes.
All right, so we've been hearing the whole this one felt different for a long time now, and it always feels different. It always feels better. It always feels like this is going to be the team that breaks through, yet we never see that. It never comes to fruition, and I know and respect what you're saying about change. Change is coming. It's inevitable. They're going to change the coach eventually, and you know a new regime will come in, but we've seen that before as well. What is it going to ultimately take for Team USA and the United States to break through on the national level in soccer?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're right, change for the sake of change. One thing Nick and I talked about, and this is something NFL fans can feel to their bones, you want a coach fired, but the person that's going to hire the next coach is the same person that hired the one you're just firing. So, like, at the end of the day, at least at the NFL level, we can look at it and say, well, what's the biggest problem? Is it the coach? Is it the GM? Is it the owner? And this cycle continues. In this situation, you've got a committee that if they're going to have to replace a coach, well, that committee is going to have to get it right next time, which is difficult to do. So I think there's a little bit of Houston Texans lesson in this. Like, you're just going to have to keep taking stabs at it and hoping at some point you get lucky. And that's not the way you're supposed to build an empire in international sports, is getting lucky. But, man, that's where it feels like we are, because this was supposed to – there's more speed and talent on this team than we've seen. I mean, there's no doubt. Yet they had two wide-open opportunities in the second half where they couldn't even get a quality shot off. It's not that they missed the net. They couldn't even get a good shot off, because it's just – everything's out of sync with this team. So I don't know what fixes it. But, man, you got enough talent on this team. They're all EPL guys that are playing at the highest level. So it's a little gross to watch it and say, man, why does this not gel together for us, but it does for Uruguay?
It's Jason Fitz here from Yahoo Sports. Follow him at Jason Fitz on X. Over the last week, you were able to get down to Jacksonville, Florida for the Rivals five-star camps. You got a chance to see a lot of different position groups, including the quarterbacks. Let's start there. What were your impressions of the young quarterbacks that were at this camp?
Man, Tavian St. Clair is a commit to Ohio State. Threw the ball with no lead up from the end zone in the long ball competition. Threw the ball 70 yards in the air. Plopped down 70 yards downfield. He was also the second most accurate quarterback there. So, like, what's amazing, Achilles Smith Jr. is going to play in Oregon. Kid's huge. His dad dwarfs his dad. And so you look at the way some of these kids are built, and there was a prospect on the defensive line that today is the same size as Chris Jones. Today. And he's a junior in high school. He's not even a senior. So the size, the speed, the athleticism, the fastest kid ran a 4.36, and that's a high school kid. And, you know, I would tell everybody, what I really saw there, because now you've got this business, entrepreneurialism, like the modern athlete is changing quickly. And, you know, you've got kids that are seniors in high school that already have $1 million in the bank between name and image likeness and getting paid for visits and all the things that are now happening that are perfectly legal in the world of sports. You've got kids that have managers and business agents in high school that are going from camp to camp to camp and figuring out where to throw and when to run to make sure that it helps their stock. And like, there's a business mind to all of these kids. Like the modern athlete is better than ever. Like the future of the quarterback position in college football looks absolutely electric. The future of defensive linemen looks absolutely electric. And then you think about 5-6 years from now, what that means for the pros. I mean, it's the reason I think you're going to see more turnover than ever from draft picks, because if kids this good are coming out of high school, then my God, you just keep stabbing at it over and over and over again in the draft. That's going to be the right strategy because the kids are so talented.
I know that there's a lot of these quarterback, competitions showcases that are going around this time of year. I'm curious if Deuce Knight from Notre Dame was there, and if so, or even if not, what are your impressions of Notre Dame's future quarterback?
Yeah, Deuce was there, and he's really good. But he was inaccurate several times, and the coaches that were working with him would just scream, "Use your feet, use your feet," and the minute they scream that, man, his accuracy went through the roof. So all of these kids, including Tavian, have a bit of a hard time throwing against their body accurately. So that sort of stood out watching them. But Deuce is going to be very good. He needs a little bit more polish than a couple of the other guys. But, man, and I can't – off the top of my head, I'm blanking on the kid that's committed to Alabama. Fans will kill me for this. But he was absolutely incredible too. So Deuce is very good. It's just there are some other kids coming out that are just – fighting people up. Juju Lewis is a quarterback that's committed to USC. Juju is a tiny human being. Like, they list him at, I think they listed him at 6'1", which I laughed at because I'm taller than he is and I'm 5'9". But that being said, kid can play. Like, if a kid can run around and make plays, throw the ball from anywhere, very Mahomes-like, it has no spot he can't throw the ball from. So there's just several quarterbacks. Deuce is one of them, though.
How important is it to find these certain quarterbacks that you know that they can be coached at many different levels to succeed at the pro level? Because we heard the comments from Tom Brady not too long ago where he felt like players were coming up, especially at the quarterback spot, that were just there to run plays, run schemes, to help coaches, you know, win games, and they can keep their jobs, and you weren't necessarily getting the best out of a natural quarterback that can deal with problems on their own and eventually start working out the way Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were able to early in their career. Do you find that to be like we're finding maybe an evolution of this position, that maybe you're getting such great athleticism that it kind of supersedes everything that Tom Brady was kind of talking about?
100%. The thing is, that's at every position. It's just more glaring at the quarterback position. Because okay. Like, I stood 2 feet from Brandon Jacobs, the former Giants running back, who is one of the best teachers I've ever stood next to. I mean, the way he was explaining in drills what to do for the running backs and why to cut at certain spots was absolutely incredible. And the funny thing is, about a third of them actually got it. Like, there was one drill they were doing where he said, lead every one of these jumps with your left foot. You had to lead with your left foot. That was the point and purpose of the drill. And I think of the 15 or so kids that did it, only 3 actually got leading with their left foot. They just, they weren't comprehending the teaching, and he was doing it so clearly. I think across the board, which you have are great athletes, and then great athletes are just sort of out there putting up huge numbers. That's why these camps, whether it's the Rivals camp, obviously, that I was part of, or whether it's Elite 11 or any of them, why they're important is because, y'all, like, you could be great in Paducah, Kentucky. That doesn't mean you're great in Vegas. That doesn't mean you're great in Nashville. Right. That doesn't mean you're great in bigger programs. So these kids really have to compete against each other to see who's capable of competing. I don't think these kids are being pushed as hard as they need to at the high school level to be good enough coming into college. And then when they get to college, everybody's afraid they're going to transfer if you're tough on them at half the places. So, like, how are kids getting good before they get to the league is a real question. They're talented, more talented than ever. How are they getting to coaching? I don't know.
Talking to Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. Jason, more and more we're learning how infatuated Sean McVay was with Brock Bowers. It includes, you know, trying to trade up with the Jets at number 11 to select him. They also offered the Raiders, reportedly, the 19th pick, the 52nd pick for number 13 and number 112 to take Brock Bowers. Two questions for you. A, what does that tell us about Brock Bowers that Sean McVay was that infatuated with him. And B, if this is, you know, this report is true in terms of the 19th pick, the 50s and the 52nd pick, which was a second round pick from the Rams, going to the Raiders for number 13 and number 112, would you have considered that?
No, I would not have considered it. I think Brock Bowers is a transcendent talent, and I guess I missed it when the Raiders no longer needed transcendent talent. And I'm not being flippant to y'all. I'm being flippant to so many people that had something to say. Like, there is a moment for me where when you are in the same division as the Chiefs, you have to have a plan on how you are going to be great for the next decade. Because guess what? They're going to be. As long as Andy Reid's having a blast coaching Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to be the cream of the crop in the NFL. So now you've got to look at it and say, how are we better? Like, I don't care who's in that wide receiver room right now. What I care about in today's NFL is, are you getting a home run superstar with your first round draft pick? And to me, what this says is that smart offensive minds understand the key to what Brock Bowers represents, which is truly versatility. And in the modern NFL, not tipping your hand to what you're doing, all the things when Gruden was hired, and even when Josh McDaniels was hired, the thing that I kept saying at the time is we have to be able as an offense to roll out a formation and not have people see what's coming from a mile away. Guys like Brock Bowers do that. Like, that's part of what makes Brock special, because no, but like, what a pain in the ass Travis Kelce has been to this organization for the last how many years? Yeah. When are we going to get ours? When do we get the person you can root for that you know, even when the whole other side of the ball is sitting there saying, my God, we got to take this guy away? You can't do it. When are we going to get to the spot where, you know, we're talking about our team's tight end getting four touchdowns in a game on four catches that just breaks the back of a division rival? Those are the things that Brock Bowers can do. So, you know, as enticing as 19 and 52 would be, because the you could always use more talent, you also need superstars. You need building blocks. You need game wreckers. And I love Devontae. We all love Devontae, but Devontae is not 25, right? Like, so you got to start prepping your room for the right now and for the later. I think I will stand on for the next several years. Brock Bowers was one of the best picks in this year's draft. Where he was taken was one of the smartest things you can do. And at some point, you look around, and for everybody that's out there playing Madden, if you look around and there's one guy on the board that's a 99 and everybody else on the board is an 81 or an 82, and it's your turn to draft, you take him to 99, or you say, no, I don't really need the best player in the game. I'm just going to go ahead and take a corner because that's what I really need. No, you take the best player and you make your whole roster better. Sean McVay wanted him because he's a superstar. He's a stud in the making. I think he has a chance to be the offensive rookie of the year this year. I think he's going to absolutely explode. And a year from now, we're going to laugh at everybody that sat there and said, well, I'm not sure about that Brock Bowers pick where the Raiders took him. They didn't really need him.
Well, it's like, just as you said, Travis Kelce against the Raiders in 20 games. We're talking like a 111 catches, over 1,400 yards, and 11 touchdowns. In 20 games against the Raiders, what if you had that equivalent on your team as a new dynamic tight end that could go do that to Kansas City? I know it's high in the sky, but you have to go, like you said, you have to fight fire with fire. And at some point, you have to be great against the teams that's going to be great for the next decade.
Also, all right, so now put yourself in the defensive coordinator's shoes. Let's say Brock does what I think Brock can do. Let's say Brock does two-thirds of what I think Brock can do. All of a sudden, you're sitting there in your meeting saying, okay, we got to take away Brock Bowers. Well, that's cute. You try and take away Brock Bowers, what's Devontae going to do? Oh, and by the way, Jacoby Myers would be a number one. Like, if there was no Devontae today, Jacoby could be a number one in this league right now. So you're telling me that this team now has a 1 and a 1A at wide receiver and then a weapon that can just absolutely carve up the middle of the field and turn around and take it 20 yards deeper. So what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to stop that? And that's part of the reason why I don't think the team was desperate to address the running back position this year, because you can look at Zamir and say, man, I think we got our guy. And by the way, he's not going to have nearly as many stack boxes as we've seen the last couple of years, because what are you going to do? Right. So that's at some point when you're trying to stop the Chiefs, you look at it for years. You looked at it and said, well, if we take away, you know, Tyreek, then all of a sudden Kelce's going to burn us, and then vice versa. And now they've gotten to the point that Mahomes is so good, they don't have to worry about anything. Well, we don't have Mahomes on this team. But if you can have enough versatile weapons on offense, what's the safety going to do on every single down when they got to make a decision between dropping back and saving the end zone from Devontae or giving up 15 yards in the middle of the field to Brock? If Luke Getsy can earn his money this year, this offense should be a top 10 offense in the NFL.
And oh, by the way, there's another guy by the name of Michael Mayer that's on this team. And I want to outline something that I saw during minicamp. There was a group period for the tight ends. Michael Mayer runs his route, catches the ball, goes to the other side of the field to turn around, to go in the opposite direction. And as he turns around, he's watching Brock Bowers run the same exact, rep. And Brock Bowers, the ball goes awry. I can't remember if it was the quarterback's fault or Brock's fault. And as Brock is running toward Michael Mayer, Michael Mayer looks at him and goes, turn around and go do it again. And Brock Bowers just runs back to where he started from and runs the rep again. And it told me a little bit about Michael Mayer, and I felt this for a while, that this guy is going to be not only a great player, I think, for the Raiders, but somebody that's going to be a leader on this team. He just has that kind of personality. What are your projections for Michael Mayer in terms of his impact on the field, but also I think somebody that I think is quietly going to become a leader of this team?
Yeah, by the way, you're right. Everybody I know with Notre Dame has said the same thing about him from the day he was drafted, and everybody I know that knows him says the same thing to this moment. Like, work is not something Michael Mayer's afraid of, and I'm not throwing the past regime under the bus. That's easy to do right now. I will say this. Josh McDaniels runs a very complicated offense, and I don't think there's a more demanding position to learn in your first year offensively than tight end, because you're essentially learning to do two or three things. And in Josh McDaniels' offense, you're learning to do two, three, or four things, and the language is incredibly difficult all at once. So whatever was or wasn't accomplished in his rookie year, I crumble up and throw away. I don't really care. So now I got to look at it and say, who is Michael Mayer coming out, and who do I think he can be? Michael Mayer is somebody coming out that is not as dynamic and explosive as Brock Bowers is, but he's more rounded than Brock is. And that's why, if I look at this offense, I think there's a real shot to do the sort of Gronk Hernandez Patriots thing, like where there are two tight ends on the field a bunch. And now all of a sudden, instead of having to go three wide constantly, you could be looking at two tight ends and two receivers, and everybody's trying to figure out whether the tight ends are staying in. Like, what are they doing? And Michael Mayer is going to have a very big year this year. And I if I'm playing fantasy football, which I will this year, I'm not afraid to take either of these tight ends, because I think both of them have a real shot, especially in this offense with these quarterbacks. You're going to have a real shot to get a high number of reps, a high number of completions, a high number of touchdowns out of both of them. I think Mayer takes a big old leap forward. And by the way, leadership, like, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? It was near the end of the Derek Carr era when we were on one of these calls, and I said to you guys, who's the dog? Who's the guy that is absolutely chomping in to this team and saying, this is how we do things? Well, the script is flipped. There's a lot of questions that we do need to answer about some of these guys showing up every single Sunday. That is very fair. I don't think you can question for an ounce whether or not there is enough leadership in that locker room to go out and will a team to victory. I don't think you can question for an ounce whether or not there's enough leadership in this locker room to prevent a game that just shouldn't happen. How many years have we seen the Raiders come out flat? If there's any one thing that would absolutely stun me this year, it would be to see a flat effort, because Antonio Pierce's personality, Max, Christian Wilkins, then you start talking about Devontae and you start talking about Mayer. You go up and down the line. There are dogs all over this team that are going to have accountability to effort, and that's something that has not always existed in this locker room.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, thank you so much for coming on today. We absolutely love your work, man. And I tell you what, I love the new music coming out. You can hear it up at Jason Fitz on X. It's pinned to the top of the page. I tell you what, you got something really good brewing. I smell a new album coming.
Well, I appreciate it, boys. I can't wait. In the meantime, Let's go. It's almost football season.
We're 39 days away from preseason week one. Can you believe that?
I can't wait. I'm that one jerk that cannot wait for preseason football. Let's go.
Let's go. Thank you, Jason. Have a great day.
Thanks, boys.
And happy 4th of July to Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. I love that. It's like, just can you envision of what a two tight end set could look like, the way it looked like less than 15 years ago with the New England Patriots when you had Hernandez and Gronk? Can you find that kind of happy medium where you're making two dynamic tight ends superlative and as almost like unstoppable weapons as you try to move down the field? And as Jason Fitz says, okay, you want to try to take away one of the tight ends? Oop, there goes Devontae. Oop, there goes Jacoby.
Yeah, and if you go back and look at the Patriots, I know they had Tom Brady. Obviously, that makes a big difference. But it didn't come at the expense of anybody else. They still were able to have a number one wide receiver who I believe had over 100 catches, a secondary wide receiver who had 60 to 70 catches. There were enough targets to go around to keep everybody happy and keep that offense prolific. And, oh, by the way, they also ran the ball really well that year. So, you know, I think it's all possible, you know, for the Raiders. We've talked about this, Clay, the importance of sustaining drives and giving allowing everybody to get those bites at the apple, the necessary bites of the apple. Why? Because you have the necessary plays, play snaps to be able to do that. That was a huge problem for the Raiders last year. And we go back to the third down efficiencies and, you know, sometimes, you know, not being able to be productive on first and second down, which puts you sometimes in bad third down situations. Mm-hmm. But whether it was not being able to convert the third and longs or not being able to convert the third and easy and easy ones at a higher rate, it cut into their snap counts, which meant they weren't able to ever really, it just didn't feel like they were ever able to really tap into everything that they had. If they can get more efficient play across the board, it starts with the offensive line, the quarterback play, play calling, all of that, and be able to sustain drives throughout the course of games and increase their snap counts, then you should be able to spread the love around and be able to tap into everything that you got. Because what the Raiders do have, we understand that there's still who's going to be the quarterback. What level of play are the Raiders going to get at quarterback? And that's going to play a lot into it. But, man, they've got some weapons on this team. We didn't even talk about Trey Tucker in that mix. And sure. I feel like in that 12 personnel, you know, you're going to be able to alternate, you know, him and Jacoby Myers from time to time to add something onto the field that neither, you know, Jacoby or Devontae really bring. And that's high-end speed. And how can you exploit that in a two-tight-end system where so much focus is being paid to Devontae Adams and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers? And all of a sudden you get favorable matchup, defensive matchups with a Trey Tucker who has already shown that he can win those matchups. So it really is exciting times for this Raiders offense, but the key is their ability to stay on the field and create long, prolonged drives that can really tap into all of this.
Vinny and Clay on the other side. We'll go over some more news and notes around the NFL. 702-365-9200 is the text line and phone number. Hit us up here at 702-365-9200.
Always a great time to talk about our good friends over at Dos Caras Tequila and want to talk about, again, their pairing with La Casa Cigar and Lounge over at Tivoli Village, a beautiful section of Las Vegas, a beautiful location, very chic, very chill. It's owned by Mike Prieto, who's a huge Raider fan. And what he and Dos Caras Tequila and Les Cacahuna have done are pair up some of Mike's specialty cigars at La Casa with the labels of Dos Caras Tequila. So you can sip one of the three great brands of Dos Caras Tequila and pair it up with a great cigar designated for that particular label. And so it's this great marriage, and it's a great atmosphere. Music every night, seven nights a week, over at La Casa Cigar and Lounge at Tivoli Village. If you're here in Las Vegas and you want to tap into the hottest new tequila on the market here in Vegas, just go to Lee's Liquor or Total Wine. If you're not here in Las Vegas, don't even sweat it. You could always go to DosCatasSpirits.com, make all your orders online, get it shipped wherever you are. Just go to DosCatasSpirits.com for all the details.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good room, really good. I was blessed to come from a really good room in San Francisco. It's got a lot of the same qualities within it. Guys love football. Guys want to get better. They're asking questions. They take criticism, and they've been an outstanding group. They're really grasping the offense too. Like they're really doing a good job. Obviously, we don't run the ball that much right now because it's OTAs and mini camp. We don't really get allowed to do the contact that we want to do our run game. But within the drill work and anytime we do it, they've been really, really good as far as understanding the detail of what we're asking them to do.
Raiders offensive line coach James Craig coming back here on R&R 920. Thanks for being with us. 702-365-9200 is the number. You can reach us here at R&R 920 on X as well. Vinny and Clay here on your Tuesday, the morning tailgate. As PFF rolled out the offensive line rankings, as they see it right now, Raiders are at 19. And as it goes, it starts out, hey, there's a lot to be optimistic about the Raiders offensive line. I have not read that from PFF in a long time, especially at this point of the year, and especially of some of the I don't know, incarnations of talent that you've seen on the O-line as far as just depth pieces and in like competition at certain areas. I think the Raiders feel like they're in a good spot, and you know, James Craig is definitely one of them, especially as he, you know, really, that's really high praise to come over from the San Francisco 49ers and say there's a lot of similarities to what they're seeing right now.
Yeah, and I give PFF credit because the last 2 years, at the end of the year, they had the Raiders right there knocking on the door in the top 10, and I don't know if that a lot of people kind of realized that, you know, the offensive lines came along as the season progressed. So PFF, you know, gave them the necessary respect, and I credit them for that, because we were kind of seeing the same thing. Were they perfect? No. Could they do better in certain areas? You know, absolutely. But I think that they've been as fair as I think others, you know, or fairer than many others in their assessment of the offensive line, and that's why I think 19 is okay for them. I mean, I think they're acknowledging, you know, that they have starters, three new starters at three different positions, you know, with Thayer Munford and Dylan Parham moving to right guard, as we talked about earlier, and Jackson Powers Johnson taking over for Dylan Parham at left guard. But in the whole scheme of things, I think it has a chance to be even better than last year. More athletic, the system, you know, you hope that what Luke Getsy is trying to do is going to be more conducive to this type of an offensive line. I think there's strength there. I think there's athletic ability there. You know, so we'll see where it ends up. But I would not be shocked if this is a top 10 offensive line per PFF by the end of the year.
From the text line, 702-365-9200, from the 408, someone is asking if JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, and or Colt Miller need more time. Who would fill in at left tackle and left guard to start the preseason?
Yeah, well, I think that Andres Pete, who they signed from the New Orleans Saints, got the bulk of the snaps at left tackle during OTAs and minicamp. And then at left guard, you had kind of a combination of Jordan Meredith. You had a little bit of Cody Whitehair over there. You know, so I think that those two veteran players are guys that, you know, in the short term would fill in, but you know, my expectation is that Colton Miller or Jackson Powers Johnson is going to be ready to go day one of training camp, and I think with Colton Miller, I think it's just more kind of a management thing than anything else. I think that they're gonna try to maintain him as best as possible, manage his body at this point, you know, where he is age wise and experience wise and playing time wise, coming off the shoulder injury that he had last year, just to make sure that he's, you know, ready to go in optimal shape come week one, and then hopefully preserve that through the next 18 weeks of the season. So I don't think either case is anything to be alarmed about. But if something were to happen, I think that the Raiders have good depth to deal with that.
Out to the phone, 702-365-9200, to the Rocky Mountain State, Denver, Colorado. It's Raider Dave in Denver. Hello, David.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things that I think maybe would be worth looking at is, of the great defensive lines that have been in the existence of the NFL, how good was the component of the offensive lines on the same team? When you look at iron sharpening iron and the defensive line obviously getting better last year, and PFF, yes, a bit of a surprise. I thought maybe 25th, 23rd, but they're going to rank them 19th. I think this is a great promise, because if you think about what kind of tests that this offensive line has to go each day, each week, against this good of a defensive line, you've got to think that it will be very competitive, better than in the last few years, and it would be so interesting for somebody to ask Crosby how much he's seen the progression of the offensive line throughout training camp.
Ooh, Dave, I like that question. Thank you for the call. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles definitely is a modern example of the last 2 years having great defensive line work, but also really boasting the best offensive line. And maybe, as Dave is pointing out, both work together in practice to make each other better.
Yeah, and that Philadelphia Eagles offensive line and defensive line were just star-studded. And I'm sure the Raiders want to get there right now. Obviously, the defensive line is ahead of that curve. But, you know, if Thayer Munford, you know, can really seize that right tackle position, and Jackson Powers Johnson is who the Raiders thought he was when they drafted him with a second round pick. Again, this offensive line has a chance to be really good, and you know, the hope is that as I mentioned just a little while ago, with what Luke Getsy wants to try to do, that his system is more, even more conducive to the talent on hand. So, you know, we'll see. But I certainly think there's something to that theory of, you know, both sides of the ball helping each other out.
Also from the 323 sending in a text, does Michael Mayer or Brock Bowers help make this offensive line better because they can do both things? I guess meaning pass, catch, as well as block.
Yeah, and certainly I think Michael Mayer is further along right now, and I think that's what Jason Fitz was alluding to in terms of being the more all-around tight end. Michael Mayer turned himself into a really good blocker by the end of last year, by, you know, even earlier than that, really. So he's somebody that you could put on the offensive line or line him up in line to help the run game at that point of attack. But also, Brock Bowers, if you go watch his college tape, he was somebody that blocked really well in the run game, you know, from the slot position, as a lining him up outside or outside of your tackles in the slot, and then going and taking care of safeties and linebackers and sometimes cornerbacks as that type of a blocker. So both will be able to help in that run game.
702-365-9200. Keep them coming. We got more texts and thoughts on the other side, but we'll also clear the phone lines for your chances to win now. We have tickets. Theo Von, the great comedian, is going to be live at Resorts World this weekend. In fact, we got tickets for the Saturday show over at Resorts World Theater. Be caller number 9 at 702-365-9200. I have a pair of tickets for you. You can get your tickets also online at AXS.com. But two nights in the Resorts World Theater, Theo Von, we have your tickets for Saturday on the Return of the Rat Tour. 702-365-9200. Back after this on Raider Nation Radio. Welcome back. Third hour here coming up on Raider Nation Radio. Top of the next hour, we'll be joined by Albert Hall from the Vegas Summer League. The NBA Summer League is right around the corner here in Las Vegas, Friday, July 12th through the 22nd. You can go up to lvsportsnetwork.com and enter in our contest for your chance to win tickets to greatness at the Vegas Summer League right around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Go up online, lvsportsnetwork.com. In fact, if you're having a little trouble with the stream, make sure you go to your app store or a Google Play and download LV Sports Network's app. LV Sports Network app streams both for Android and iPhone very well, and I'll help you get through as we are still making some changes to the app for the streaming for the Raiders. 702-365-9200 is the number here on Raider Nation Radio. From the text line, Joel from Queens commenting on the Brock Bowers talk that we had about how the Rams are very, very interested in acquiring Bowers in the draft by trying to make some work in the draft by getting the Jets to possibly trade back a little bit.
And the Raiders.
And the Raiders, too. And Joel goes on to say, I really love the pick is in documentary. I always found McVay so likable. My only really moment was that the Rams offered three teams a trade to move up, which the Raiders were in the middle of, but they clearly got the lesser of the deal of the three. So obviously everyone tries to win all their deals, any deal. And the Raiders were clearly not moving, but that Raiders tax is real. Yes, I will say this all in jest.
It's not a Raiders tax.
It says, my mom always said, when she didn't care for my humor, there's a little bit of truth in every joke. Happy July 4th. Thanks, Joel from Queens.
Yeah, none of it's not a Raiders tax. It was the difference between trending up to number 11 or number 10 compared to number 13. There's a value chart that's out there. Not everyone adheres to the same exact chart, and obviously there's different dynamics. But what the Rams offered, they felt was, you know, the Raiders would have been getting, you know, a second round pick out of that to move six spots down. And I contend this, if Brock Bowers hadn't have been there, I think that they would have entertained that offer for sure. Now, obviously, Brock Bowers was the reason the Raiders or the Rams wanted to move up in the first place. But if, let's just say, there was a different player, maybe a safety, or pick whatever position you want in terms of the Raiders or Rams being interested in that player, I think that picking up an extra second-round pick to drop, you know, three or six spots down, that might have been something that the Raiders would have absolutely considered, especially if they felt like a player that they liked, whether it was one of the cornerbacks or one of the tackles, would have still been there. But that just tells you how enticing Brock Bowers was to the Raiders and to the Rams as well. And as Jason Fitz talked about, you know, when you have a chance to get an impact player at an impact position, somebody that is going to have could have a profound effect on your team. I understand that there was a need, quote unquote, for right tackle or you know, that cornerback spot opposite you know Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs, but that's 5 years down the line. I don't think anyone's going to care about who they passed up on at right tackle or cornerback, because Brock Bowers is going to be that good. When you have a chance to get somebody of that quality at that position in the draft, you jump on it. It's kind of like with the Lakers with that 17th pick, picking that kid from Tennessee. There was no way that he should have even been there at number 17 to get that value at that pick. At number 17, you just run, sprint up to the podium to get it. And it doesn't matter about the position. You know, it's the star quality, the production, the impact, you know, what he's going to mean to your team. And you have rare opportunities, especially at that point in the draft, to be able to draft somebody that could have that kind of effect. So whatever the quote-unquote need was, it gets superseded by the star and impact, you know, quality that Brock Bowers possesses.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like you got to have just a little bit more. I don't know. I would like to see it just in some of the preseason prognostications on the Raiders that they don't really bring up Brock Bowers at all. Did you ever notice that? Like, he's just kind of like, you know, just another guy that they drafted and just another tight end. And I think everyone's going to find out very soon once the season begins that he's the weapon that is going to kind of change the look of this offense and reimagines what they could do instead of just having to rely on Jacoby and Devontae, that Bowers is going to change things for the Raiders. And well, just because it just hasn't dawned on everyone yet.
I don't think it's Brock Bowers hasn't dawned on him. I think that they're saying, who's going to throw him the ball? If he went to the New York Jets, which I think the Jets were, I know that they needed a offensive tackle help themselves. You know, they gave up a lot of sacks last year. But again, that was with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. Who knows how much he was holding on to the ball or just misreading the situation. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that makes every offensive line better because he gets rid of the ball so quickly and really has won the battle a lot of times before the snap of the ball even occurs. Whereas a Zach Wilson, you know, you just watch him and the deer in the headlights look and some of the damaging positions he puts his team because he's just not seeing things the way you need to see them at the line of scrimmage pre-snap. So if you put Brock Bowers with the Jets right now, I guarantee you people would be talking about, wow, Brock Bowers with the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers right now, what a steal that is. Or if you put him, you know, we talked about this with the Atlanta Falcons right now, with Kirk Cousins, you know, and alongside Kyle Pitts, even though, you know, they're kind of similar players, I think you could have made it work. But if you put him in a situation right now with a really good quarterback, I think everybody would be talking about Brock Bowers. I think the worry for the Raiders nationally is, all right, you've got this great weapon. You've also got Devontae Adams. You also have Michael Mayer and Jacoby Myers. But is the quarterback play going to be good enough to take advantage of everything that the Raiders have weapon-wise?
Yeah, I think it is. Just because of the tight end position, and if you're going to line up in a lot of, you know, 12 personnel, then you really just have to kind of master the 8 to 10-yard pass to your tight ends. If you could do that. You know, because tight ends can be a very valuable commodity for quarterbacks that are trying to get their feet wet into a new system like Luke Getsy's going to try to do. Just initially early on, I always felt like tight ends become the beneficiaries of a lot of those early stages of a West Coast offense install. Because you definitely will have downfield targets, but getting guys to start crossing the field, getting guys that can go in bump and then escape and find a little spot open downfield and be very hard to tackle because you're mismatched up against a cornerback. I think the Raiders can do that.
Yep, got to be accurate and efficient with the ball, Clay. That's what it's. We keep talking about that. Can the Raiders get efficient play from their quarterbacks? You know, if you peel back the onion a little bit. Both Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew were inefficient in some key areas, and they need to improve in those areas. We talked about earlier today, Aiden O'Connell was up high on that list on the inaccurate balls. That needs to change. You know, we've talked about the third downs and the red zones and, you know, the high leverage type plays that you just need to be better at. So to me, that's what it comes down to. And I know we're not going to find out. We're not going to know until the season starts. But it's critical. It's incumbent. I mean, it's so important for the Raiders to get a suitable level of play from their quarterbacks this year because it's going to make all the difference in the world in one direction or not.
Raider Nation Radio here on a Tuesday. It's Vinny and Clay here on the Morning Tailgate. Albert Hall with the Vegas Summer League. He's going to join us now at 9:15. He's bumped it back a little bit, but we'll talk to him about what's coming up, what's in store, what's new over at the Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion when the NBA invades Las Vegas July 12th through the 22nd. He'll join us at 9:15. When we come back, an interesting story on a potential free agent quarterback that's out there and why his certain team this year is not prepared to do well. We'll tell you who that is coming up next.